I listen to the Black Guy Who Tips podcast because Rod and Karen are hot.
I bomb atomically. Socrates' philosophies and hypotheses can't define how I be dropping these mockeries. Lyrically perform armed robbery. Flee with the lottery. Possibly they spotted me. Battle scar, shogun, explosion when my pen hits. Tremendous. Ultraviolet shine, blind forensics. I inspect you. Through the future, see millennium. Killer bee sold 50 gold, 60 platinum. Shackling the masses with drastic rap tactics. Graphic displays melt the steel like blacksmiths. Black woo jackets, queen bees ease the guns in. Rumble with patrol material, glass laced with function. Heads by the scores, take flights, incite war. Chicks hit the floor, diehard fans demand more. Hey, welcome to the Black Guy Tips podcast. Your host Rod and
Karen.
Inspector Dex, best verse ever. How many of y'all bought that whack ass album off of that one verse?
I don't even know who this is.
The Wu-Tang was notorious for dudes dropping stellar hip-hop classic verses, and then you go pick up their album and it was straight dumpster juice.
It was about 45 of them.
So much pain. I think about both of Capadonna's albums. And still, he didn't have one verse up to that Winter Wars verse. Ooh, that Winter Wars verse was fire though. Ooh, that's gotta be the best verse by a hip hop scrub of all time. I will put it up against anything. Sorry. Anyway, it's the Black Guy Tips podcast. Find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podomatic. Just search the Black Guy Tips. We'll come up. Leave us 5-star reviews on iTunes and Stitcher, and we'll read them on our feedback show, which we're doing today.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm. And the official weapon of the show is
the taser.
An unofficial sport.
It's bullet ball.
And bullet ball extreme. And today marks day 605 that we have had Bobby Schmurder locked up in jail without his bail being lowered. 605, y'all. Long time to be away from your family and friends.
Ain't that the truth?
Yep. All right, so let's go ahead and get into some feedback stuff, okay? Now we have donations, okay? Mm-hmm. That's my favorite nation. You know, a lot of people, they root in the Olympics. Y'all root for the United States. Some people are rooting for Puerto Rico. Wherever you're from, that's the nation you root for. I root for donation, okay? Mm-hmm. All right, now I'm gonna have us get a little. We got a new song for the choir.
We got a new song for the choir.
Mm-hmm.
No, that shit just happened. But by her reaction, you would think I've been the man. You ain't gonna
Noel W. Recurring donator. Thank you, Noel.
Hey, baby.
Linwood C. Recurring donator. Thank you, Linwood. Harold W. is a brand new recurring donator. Thank you, Harold. Go to the new members class.
Mm-hmm.
Egioma I. Recurring donator. Thank you very much, Egioma. Pamela A. Recurring donator. Thank you. Kim J. Recurring donator. Thank you, Kim. Got a one-time donation from Amy R. Thank you, Amy. We appreciate you. Joy M, recurring donator. Thank you, Joy. Tavon S, recurring donator. Thank you, Tavon. Mm-hmm. Shantae B, recurring donator. Thank you, Shantae. Shantae's got a man at home.
Ah!
My brother, Rodney, recurring donator. Thank you, Rodney.
Hey, baby.
Damian Jackson. Woo,
I am for real.
Recurring donator. Autumn W, recurring donator. Patrice M left a one-time donation that says, hey Rod and Karen, thanks for all the great pods. My annual contribution is here, but less than last year because so many avoidable deaths, etc. Well, I'm sorry to hear that. I give to the media that feeds me. Karen, stay with the quotes, unquotes. Anyone who fucks with you fucks with me. Love y'all. At Outstanding WC from BK. Thank you, baby. Alfonso M, recurring donator. I think Alfonso might be new. I don't know if I said that name before.
No, I don't remember no Alfonso.
Catherine B. Yes, Catherine B, recurring donator.
Thank you, baby.
And that's everybody, man. Thank you so much, everybody. Also, Karen, I forgot. I left on the coffee table 2 of the gift receipts. I need to get those. Sorry about that. Play us out.
Scrolling through my feed, I saw you just supposed to be. I choose you like a Pokemon. I choose you, your selection one.
then goddamn we getting married. If you need it and I got it, you can have it, bitch, I'm sharing. If you crying, I'ma ask you why you crying, bitch, I'm caring. If you need me to look out for you, I'm posted and I'm staring. That's to never have another boyfriend, I get jealous. Yeah, I'm all my friend love, but I get crazy as a felon. I choose you, now you have to deal. But you're so cute, you can make me chill.
I think you're cute, I think you're cute. Oh yes I do.
I love that little song, I don't know why. All right, so we also have an Amazon wish list, right? Mm-hmm. And like I said, with the move, it was suggested that we put some things on there, and we did, you know. And I'm gonna be real with y'all, some of the things we put on there we didn't expect to get.
No,
you know, I just put it on there like, we'll see, good if we get it, good if we don't.
Yeah, like, we'll save a few duckies and eventually they'll purchase it.
Yeah, some things we need but it's not urgent, and if we have to, we'll get it ourselves, like printer paper and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. But you know, people have sent us some silk pillowcases.
Mm-hmm. I like.
Mm-hmm. I knew, you know, that's for Karen's hair, y'all.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I gotta keep them edges straight. Sometimes I get a little lazy and all people want to wrap my hair up so I can slide over the pillow and keep my edges.
Yeah, Damian Jackson, ooh,
I am for real.
He sent us the pillowcases, and then Ann sent us a new Keurig coffee maker, which, you know, we drink coffee and tea during the show a lot of times, and we also, you know, I wake up in the morning and I just drink, you know, get me a mug of coffee and start my day, and you know, it's something we use every day. So we wanted a new one because we had ours was cool, but it was older.
Yeah, it was older.
And so I just put one on there like, we'll see what happens. And yeah, she got us this and she left us a note. Hi, Rod and Karen, you two make the world a better place, and I'm happy to give your day a little boost with this gift. Your humor and wisdom are much appreciated. Thank you for being such a positive influence on so many. Hugs and kisses, Jennifer at JKFMP. Thank you.
Thank you, baby.
And she did say, she was like, yeah, I got y'all something, and it's something y'all could both share. And I was like, okay, well, we'll see what it is. And yeah, I didn't think it was that. And
me either.
When I went to go pick up to go to the post office, I saw that big ass box. I was like, this for us?
Yeah, I know, right? That's a big ass box. Yeah, because I came home when he was opening it up and I was like, that's a big ass box. What did you order? Because right. We're also, you know, picking up little things here and there. We order off Amazon ourselves. So I was like, what the fuck is this?
Oh, man. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much, baby. And I brewed me a cup of that Trill Tea, dog.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That Trill Tea. I see you've been going through it at a good clip here.
I know. I might have to order me some more.
Hey, well, you know, that's how you know it's a good product, man.
Trying to tell you.
Yeah, I had to try some myself because Karen always drinks tea. I always drink coffee. But I gotta get up in there and get, you know, try to do that. All right. So I guess we should start with the 5-star reviews. That seems like the best place to start, right, guys? Mm-hmm. All right, so first of all, let's start with best listener ever, 99 says. Now, how you the best ever listener ever, and then you number 99? I feel like you should be best listener ever number one.
Mm-hmm.
I'm
about to say number 100.
No, that means 98 other people had best listener ever.
Oh, my
you.
Bad, baby. Well, then, yeah, you number one.
Best podcast ever, 5 stars. This is the best podcast ever. Saturday listener feedback is my favorite. Also, iTunes is annoying because they make it hard to write reviews. They can make it hard. No profanity. You know, it takes a few days to see if it even posted.
Yeah, see, Steve Jobs is still alive because certain words, they're like phase out. And the thing is, they won't let you know that it didn't post. It just won't post.
Right. Bravo/Brava, 5 stars by D's Nouse. DEASENUOGHT. Maybe it's pronounced D's Nuts. Okay.
Maybe.
It's a legit 5-star show. I was put off by wrestling and fearless in going about complex going after complex issues. Not safe for work though. Not safe for work as fuck though. Rod, Karen/Rod stating the room is racist as fuck and guess the race is brilliant on so many levels, and responses are throwback funny, but at the end of the segment, like the show, you left to either unpack it all or reject it. Shaking my head. totally inviting the listener to think, but being cool if they just needed the jokes. Please keep it up. I'll donate ASAP, but I ain't there yet. Okay. Thank you for the 5-star review either way. We appreciate that. Bruce in H-Town says, episode 1257, happy birthday President Obama. Another 5-star episode, and although the soup is spelled P-H-O, it's actually pronounced P-H-R, fa. Now, here's what's funny about this. This is literally like the fourth pronunciation of this we have gotten. At least my Twitter. I don't think y'all bothered Karen's Twitter with it, but my Twitter, everyone has sent me like, it's not fo, it's fu. It's not fu, it's fu. Like, everyone had a different way to pronounce this. It seems the consensus, the most people said it was F-U-H, like fu. And then some people were saying it was like they would have puns, like, fucking palace or something like that and stuff like that. At any rate, I'm gonna keep calling it foe because I'm an ignorant American and I don't care.
That's the way it's spelled.
I don't care. I don't care, guys.
Yeah, I don't either. It's
the
both.
Puns work better with PHO. That's the
they you know, do
all the signs. Yeah. I only saw a couple signs that used the puns that had they used it in the F-U-H sound. Everything else had the P-H-O sound, and I'm gonna stick with that. Sorry, guys. Our place is called I-P-H-O. That looks like iPhone. It's only funny if we say it's IFO. I'm sorry, guys. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, in fact, I had me some pho last night, and it was shrimp. Oh, it was so good.
Yeah, I know it's ignorant. I'm sorry, guys.
Oh, yeah, I know, too. You know what? Y'all, I just don't care. I'm sorry, hurt the feelings.
I'm sorry, everybody. I'm sorry. Okay, I'm not above it. I'm waiting on a follow-up report of what happened at Blaze's black funeral. Oh yeah, that dude. Leroy B. Black. I thought his nickname was Blast, not Blaze. I think that's a tank. Funeral with the wife and the girlfriend. Yeah, that had to be another funeral coming after that one.
I don't know, that was lit.
Y'all Are So Funny by DTYFJI. My best friend's mom recommended the blackout tip. Whoa, that's a hell of a record. That's a first. That's definitely a first.
Shout out to your best friend mama. What up, mom?
Looking out for us. My best friend's mom recommended the blackout tips to me when I was complaining about not being able to find a podcast that I enjoy listening to. Now I listen as often as possible. Y'all are so funny, and I love Karen's laugh. Ha ha ha.
Thank you.
Keep up the good work. And I think there's a heart emoji. Thank you. Or maybe it's clapping hands. I don't know. I'm on my computer. But thank you. Hey, we appreciate it. Thank you for leaving us a 5-star review. Mm-hmm. Okay. We know you didn't have to, but we appreciate it.
We do.
And also we have 1 5-star review on Stitcher. 1 new one.
Woo-hoo! Oh, before you move on.
Before I move on though, let Karen say something.
For those of you, leaving us a 5-star review, just know if you live outside of the continental United States, this does include Canada and or Mexico, even though we back to front to back, however you want to say it. The United States is like Donald Trump. They go, make America great again. And so it's just one of those things where you have to let us know, else we will not see them. We won't see them at all. Apple has built a wall and we can't see over it. So please let us know if you're outside of the continental United States. And I don't know all the download numbers, but I look at the numbers periodically and I see them reviews and they ain't matching up. So it's still a lot of y'all that need to put 5 on it. Put them 5 stars on the podcast. It's absolute positive free. Don't cost you a dime.
Now pass around that plate.
Mm-hmm.
Bobby H says on Stitcher, 5 stars, there are none better. The Blackout Tips podcast has been a staple of my weekly media diet since I began listening last summer. Previous occupants of that position have been local NPR stations, music, and other podcasts. I found this show through Stitcher's Discover tab after listening to The Read, of which I heard from the Cracked podcast. Until I heard this show for the first time, I didn't realize what I was longing to hear someone speak from a perspective other than that of the mainstream media. I don't think I'll go back to the consistent NPR listening as long as Karen and Rod are still producing a consistently excellent experience. I'm taking classes and saving for a home loan now, but once that's all squared away, I'll probably go premium. Thank y'all both so much. Aww.
Oh, thank you.
Thank you. We appreciate you, Bobby H. And yeah. Speaking of premium, put out a lot of premium stuff this week. Mm-hmm. You know, hey man, stay grinding.
We do. We stay grinding. We stay working hard. And for those of you who want to leave us a review on Stitcher, Stitcher is a tidbit more complex. But for those of you that want to leave us a 5-star review on Stitcher, it's best to Google the Black Guy Who Tips Stitcher review page, and it comes it goes straight to that page. And you can click on it, and you can, it actually say, leave a review or write a review. Click on that, and you can actually leave us a review, straight through that. The thing about Stitcher, for those of you that have left a Stitcher review and was like, it hadn't posted, please check your emails and check your junk email, because the thing about Stitcher, Stitcher actually leaves you, sends you an email for like an email confirmation. So if you never have clicked on an email confirmation, your post for Stitcher will never post. So once you have sent the review, Stitcher will leave you, will send you an email, you click on that, and it depends on varies, it depends on when they feel like updating it. We will get your reviews through Stitcher. If you have an iOS device, it allows you to leave reviews straight through your iOS device. Those reviews do not show up on our Stitcher review page. Just for those of you who are, hey, I'm leaving a review and it's not getting read, if you left it through your, straight through your iOS device, we don't see those.
Alright, and so yeah, speaking of premium shows, this week, we did, yesterday was a doubleheader. I did, in the morning, Balls D Sports with Justin.
Mm-hmm.
Which was a pretty good episode. And then we had, the Nerd Off in the afternoon, slash night, and Karen was able to make it.
Woo!
And that was a long one, you know, cause we don't really get Karen on often anymore since we got to do it during the middle of the day. Mm-hmm. So having Karen, you know, it was me, Karen, Aaron, Sterling, and Chris, and we all talked for like 3.5 hours almost.
That was fun.
About a bunch of nerd stuff, and you know, we got on a long ass Suicide Squad tangent. Mm-hmm. So, and DC movies versus comics and all that. We also recorded a episode of Off Season Reviews for Stranger Things with Leslie Mack of the Interracial John podcast. So if you guys have watched Stranger Things, check that out. You know, you love that. I believe me and Leslie did a review of, Jessica Jones too.
Yeah,
so, we love linking up together and doing some work. And then also Karen and I did Preacher season one, mm-hmm. all season review. So anyone who watched AMC's Preacher, I think it was 11 episodes or something like that. We recapped like just basically an off season review, of that. I thought it would be shorter, but that was about 1 hour, 15 minutes and it was pretty good. And I also put out a couple of pre-games this week, like, you know, just grinding really, man.
Yeah,
so
you recorded with Bot, ain't you?
It's not out yet.
Yeah.
I haven't put it out yet, but I have a Bourne, the Jason Bourne movie, the newest one, we will have a review out with me. It's not an Impossible White Man review, just a regular sport review with me and Bob from Hot Fire Starter. That'll be out this weekend. And you know, of course we review Suicide Squad. So
yeah, we was a guest too.
And we were, yeah, but that show's not out yet.
Okay, it's not out yet.
The show won't be out for maybe a week or two.
Okay.
So, but yeah, we got another show coming out soon for a podcast called the Composite Creative, where we went and talked with, I believe it was Austin, Joe, and Brandon. And they just asked us a lot about our podcast. It came into a long discussion. There's a lot of tangents.
That was fun.
Yeah, there's a lot of, backstories, a lot of stuff like that, but that'll be out in a week or so.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's get to the comments on last week's episodes that we had, starting with episode 1256, Visibility. So that was just a feedback show. We got two comments on it. Let's see. Tiger Allure writes in, I just want to write a thank you for Karen and your voice and support and against issues and problems surrounding the LGBT community. I'm not sure if anyone has said thank you from us, but even if they had, it doesn't hurt to say it again. Thank you so much. We need your voices, our brother and sister, to help jog those of us who look like you, who relate to you because you are heterosexual. Yeah, I mean, that is kind of like to me anyway, that's a way to help and to solve shit, because unfortunately there are people that only hear shit from other people. It's why I don't get mad at Jon Stewart or even like Tim Wise or any of these people. I know there's a lot of black people who resent them.
Yeah,
and the resentment I have is about the need for them, not about them.
Right.
I'm so glad and thankful that there are people like that out there, and I'm not saying it on some you get a cookie shit, but I've recognized that you literally do not have to. You don't have to, because honestly, nothing would happen to you in your life if you chose not to speak up. Like, maybe a few people outside of, like, a few not white males might say something to you at some point, but if they have no actual effect on your life, you wouldn't give a fuck.
Nope.
So I am thankful. You know, I think the temptation to be anti-black is already so strong, just like the temptation to be anti-woman, just like the temptation to be homophobic and transphobic, all this shit. It's already so strong because it's the way the river is flowing as is. So it's easy to just swim along with the tide. So anybody that takes the time to turn around the other way, I'm thankful for. But all that being said, I don't ever think the things we say on this show, at least I never plan on it, like, I'm saying this for a thank you anyway. You know what I mean? I appreciate it though, and it's never, you know, it's like, it's always welcome to be honest, because people that don't fuck with you always let you know.
Yeah, they do.
You know, people that make up shit, they never take time off. People that lie never take time off. But I do appreciate it, man. But more importantly, I want people to know that we appreciate them. Like, you know, it's a lot of people that come together to be a fan base to this show. Not everybody is going to get along with everybody. No. Not everybody's going to agree with everything. But we try to do our best to make it a positive, inclusive space, and it, you know, and still have fun. I recognize that there will still be fun. There will still be jokes. Not everything is going to be serious and sad all the time. But to me, I don't ever feel like we're advocating just like, oh yeah, we need to advocate for the LGBTQ people. It's really like, when you look at the news, I don't know how people read these stories and think anything other than this is fucked up and wrong, right? And we should let people know about it. It's just
you
have to be a bad person to not care about this shit. I don't know, you know what I mean? Like, we read the news, we follow these stories all day, and I know there's a lot of podcasts and media spaces that just avoid these type of things. Yes, but I don't want to avoid it.
Nope.
I want to be able to have conversations that other people are scared to have, and be honest about it and be respectful about it, and try to, you know, try to do it that way, you know, and still have fun, which is, you know, still the number one thing. One of the main reasons I stayed listening to your show was because you would speak out against irrational, unfair, and unethically sound discrimination against my LGBT family. And it's no military secret, as a heterosexual black male, the majority of you aren't doing that, right? My sisters speak up for us all the time, but not many hetero black men see it for us in the LGBT, because they think that we are what's wrong with blackness. Yeah, that's always disgusting to hear, man. Like, yo, me and Justin, we had this dude that we play ball with every Saturday. His name's Carl. And we found out basically Carl was homophobic because Justin and I were on the sideline discussing how ridiculous the fucking bathroom bill is in North Carolina. And we didn't vote for this shit, but he, you know, we're dealing with this shit. Right. And
we are.
Yeah, I was like, we're going to lose the All-Star game. People going to stop coming. And Carl didn't give a fuck. And then we lost the All-Star game, and he started feeling a little bit like, I guess y'all was right. But you want to know what I kept telling Carl? I said, you know, the problem is the people you're siding with on this are the same people that don't like your black ass.
Right.
And he was like, nah, it's not racism, man. This is different. He was like, that's racism. That's bad. I said, well, homophobia is bad. Transphobia is bad. And he's like, nah, it's different, man. Don't compare them to and all this shit. And then the motherfucking ruling for the voter laws came out.
Right.
And it was implicit. It was explicitly put in there. Look, this is how black people vote, and we are trying to marginalize their vote to make it as least impactful as possible. We're cutting off early voting because black people early vote in the first 5 to 7 days of the 15-day period. So they shorten it to like 7 days or some shit like that specifically. Also, you know, they want people to have ID because black people are less likely to have government-issued ID than white people. It was all targeted black people, and I said, these are the same motherfuckers that you side with over the goddamn bathroom bill. You are complicit in this. your own oppression, and it's because you're so blinded by your hatred of LGBTQ people that you would go along willingly with your own oppression. I said, those people do not see a fucking difference between us and anyone else. They
right.
don't, to us, it's all the same. And he was kind of like coming around to it the last few weeks. But at this point, it's just me and Justin trolling him because I don't really have any respect for him, right. his opinion on this. But the point being, like, it's all connected is my point. And that's how I see it. It's like, it's not like, oh, well, I don't want to talk about this issue because fuck these people. And it's going to be different when it's me. It's never going to be different when it's you.
Yep.
You know, it's as much about, I'm not trying to get like an honorable title or nothing. It's as much about me as it is about you.
Right.
You know what I mean? Like, it's the same, it's all the same shit to me. It's just a one river with a whole lot of different branches, but it's the same fucking hatred river, and it'll catch us all. And especially, and you have to be vigilant about spotting this shit for everyone. We can't just be like, just my impression. Okay, I got my chains off. All right, bye y'all. Y'all have a good one down here in Chainland. Like, I don't want to be that person.
No, and to think about oppression. Oppression is oppression no matter what group it hits. Mm-hmm. And some people don't see that. They don't see oppression as oppression across the board. And oppression can be race. Oppression can be gender, sexuality. You know, oppression can be against females. Like, it is a lot of handicapped people. Oppression is oppression. People with mental illness. Like, oppression crosses a lot of genres. And there are intersectionalities with people that actually cross all these genres. Every genre has somebody that crosses into it from another oppressed group. Right. And so it's hard for people to realize that just because your oppression does not directly affect me, or somebody within my group is actually a part of your group. So we're all connected, and it's amazing how people do not see the same tactics are used for all these oppressed groups. And the even sadder part is that the people who are actually are in power to put this oppression upon everybody, they have fooled people in these individual groups to make you think that your oppression is worse than somebody else's, and that you shouldn't have any empathy or sympathy for somebody else in a different oppressed group. And a lot of times you internalize this and turn around, and the oppression is placed on you. Instead of you looking at the person that's causing the oppression, you turn around and you oppress another group. And it just continues this cycle. And that's how you get people to the point where they vote against their own interests. That's how you get people, they support people that don't even like them. They, as an individual person, they don't even like the foundation of who you are, and will every turn around and vote things for your, not in your interest, but you don't care because you're so blinded on my oppression is the only oppression that matters. When at the end of the day, it is a lot of oppressed people out there. And if all the oppressed people a lot of times would take their blinders off and look around and realize that there are other oppressed groups too, you're not the only one suffering. You're not the only one doing without. You're not the only one that bills, fucked up bills and laws are getting a pass. And the thing is, even if you're in a group that you think that you're not being affected by this, you are actually being affected by this, whether you want to realize it or not. Because a lot of these people, for this All Lives Matter and this Blue Lives Matter, you fail to realize police don't give a fuck about you either. And when push come to shove, they're going to be strolling down your alley sooner or later too. They're going to be taking your civil rights just like they're taking everybody else's. But you didn't care, because as far as you're concerned, it only affected darkies. It only affected brown people. It only affected LGBTQ people. But one day it's gonna come down your lane, and then you're gonna be like, what about me? But you know what, a lot of the people that you turned your eye on gonna be like, hey dog, it's your turn to suffer now. I'm not like that, but a lot of people are gonna be like that, and they're gonna sit back and watch you suffer when you should have stretched your hand out and helped these people. Because a lot of times the people that are least affected need to be the loudest, because if you care, things are changed, because the shit don't directly affect you. But because you're too busy walking your normal life and ignoring everything around you, like everything is rainbows and sunshine while people are dying and getting killed every day, one day some shit gonna happen in you and in your life, and you're gonna want somebody to show up and support you too.
It happens all the time. Like when you see people that are anti black protesters, and then when someone dies that they know, or when they go, well, my cousin got killed by a black person and nobody was marching. Oh, so you do want them to march, but on your command, right? You do recognize that these things work, but you need them to work directly for you and no other time, you know? You don't want to be inconvenienced, but yet you do want change. Like, it's just, you know, people pull this shit all the time. And you know All Lives Matter isn't a real movement because, mm-hmm. and Blue Lives Matter isn't a real movement because there's no infighting in it. Okay, like any actual movement is consistent, it consists of people and people are messy, and so it would be some fighting. If it ain't no fighting in your movement, it ain't no movement. Like, it's not real. Like, I want to see the people being like, I started alllivesmatter.org and these people are not the leadership. Like, that's when you know it's real. Like, it until then, it's just something you say that really means shut the fuck up, black people.
Right, because the thing about the All Lives Matter and the Blue Lives Matter, where have you been? Like, you literally did not show up on the scene. There's no foundation that says, hey, we started this back right. in 1662. We started this back in... No, you did not exist till then, and you're not really an organized group. You're just a bunch of racist-ass people, even black people, that's just like, y'all niggas, shut the fuck up. You're dark and shut the fuck up. LGBTQ, we don't care nothing about your plights. That's all Lives Matter and Blue Lives Matter is directly saying. You're going, hey, you are literally showing the world that we are racist. How can we walk around the world and judge other countries for they fucked up shit when we're doing the same fucked up shit, and sometimes even worse than these other countries that we turn our nose up and we think that they're not worth nothing? Well, the same thing is happening here. A lot of it is that America don't want its laundry out, because the thing that people don't want to talk about with Ferguson, I mean, it's other stuff that covered, but Ferguson was one of the first, especially in the age of social media, when it came to Ferguson. Ferguson had international news coverage. Like, we've had international news coverage before, but not to this point. You had on Twitter and on Facebook people from all around the world telling people how to prepare for tear gas, how to do this and how to do that. People that have faced this protesting for years. And so for the first time ever, it made America realize that we're just as fucked up as these other places across the world.
Right. So all right. But yeah, I appreciate it, man. He also says, thank you for your support. Thank you for fighting for us in your own way by challenging your audience to think about things in a different perspective. That allows someone queer like myself, who is also black, to feel like I have a seat in the discussion of equality and injustice. Thank you both so much. Love you, Tiger. Thanks, Tiger.
Thank you, sweetie.
Amani says, I know stuff like this gets to you, Rob, because you do take the time to be deliberate and clear with your words, and it's frustrating when that's still not enough to stop them from being twisted and straight up lied on. You're empathetic, so even when you feel you're right, you can see the other person's point, and that takes a toll, especially as you become more visible or whatever, and there's a toll on just being you because of what people perceive as your platform. But the inverse is also true, that you're helping that many more people and being able to impact people who may not have thought of things that way. Even if it doesn't feel that way, the good you're able to do is sometimes greater, even if the thanks aren't as loud as people coming down on you. We appreciate what you and Karen have built because it's genuine, and that love will always be returned to y'all. Love, the truth is out there for anyone who cares to say it. Oh man, thank you. And yeah, I think it's just fragility type shit. Like, you, and this is human, negative shit just always affects people more. Like, 100 people could be like, I love what you do, you're great. And then it's that one person that will consistently troll you or consistently say fucked up shit that makes you be like, okay, now this person has my attention. They don't deserve all that attention. Mm-mm. And it's not proportional and it's not fair, but that's how, you know, it's just human. You know, I try to overcome that as well, because a lot of that is ego talking. And honestly, you can't control anybody's narrative, and you can't control a liar, and you can't control a troll or anything like that. So, it's just like you have to let go and hope that people that really do care, that aren't just looking to be messy or looking for a fight, will see things and be like, okay, I know that that's not how that person is, even though that's how people are talking about this person. And then you just leave it like that. The poll was, are you going to watch the Olympics? Yes, but just a little bit. Nah, or yes, as much as possible. 10% said yes, as much as possible. 60% said, yeah, but just a little bit. And 30% said, nah, they won't be watching it. Karen, you been watching the Olympics?
No, but I have been loving social media, because truth be told, like I said before, every time an American wins, it posts up and down my timeline, and it's a lot of black women winning, y'all. A whole lot of black women getting their lives and stunting on them on the gym flow, stunting them on the shot put, stunting them on in the swimming pool. Like, we out there like America. What you want with this? And so I have really been loving the coverage. I've been loving the black women getting their lives. I've been loving the joy. Like I don't have to watch it, but I get joy watching other people's excitement off of watching people win the Olympics. Watching Michael Phelps realizing that he is a fish, you know, like that's the shit that's been cool. Like, I watched the clips, you know, and shit like that, and that has really been fun, you know, to me. But no, I haven't really sat down and actually watched any of it.
Yeah, I haven't watched, like, it's, when it's been on, it's just been on, and I watch it in the background, but I haven't, like, actively sought out watching it. But I'm also just not a very, that type of person, like, that gets hyped for the Olympics ever. But, yeah, I get the highlights from my timeline, and that's how I prefer it, man, because mm-hmm. y'all, the timeline will let you know, like,
you will instantly know. You wait, if somebody, I think the girl who won the shot put, I think her thing was like 11 o'clock at night, so when you wake up the first day this morning, it's all up and down your timeline. So I thank y'all for being up half the night, because I was probably knocked out of sleep, so I thank y'all for informing me.
Yeah, the other part of it too is like with the video and the advent of, you know, social media and it, the instantness of it. If somebody wins, I don't even have to watch it. It's immediately posted. Mm-hmm. They're, you know, the trophy ceremony is posted. They're, you know, the video of what they did to win is posted. Like, you don't have to watch this live on TV. Also, it's spread across like 3 or 4 different channels.
Right.
Like, it's not just that simple to find all this shit. And, you know, it's just, Olympics aren't really my jam, but I really love that so many people are getting their lives to it. And especially women, because women are so excluded from so many other sporting activities in America. You know, it's like, if it ain't the NBA or NFL, who wants to watch this shit, you know?
Right.
So this is the one time where it's like, women's shot put, I'll watch it because go America. You know what I mean? Like, that's what they're really about. Yeah, so. All right. And next episode was called Happy Birthday, Obama. Got one comment. Kyla Beauty says, so I apparently have made some kind of pho before without realizing that's what it's called. I think the recipe I found online called it a lunch pot. I made mine with seafood. Super easy to make at home. Now I got to try some authentic pho. Mm-hmm. I said it. Pho show. Pardon my faux pas. The poll was, do you think Tyrese had the point? Nobody left a comment, but we have 3.7% that said yes, he had a point. 22.2%, this is the post where Tyrese had a picture of Jay-Z, Future, and somebody else, and mm-hmm. talked about what they gonna do when it's Black Lives Matter and all this other shit and All Lives Matter. It was weird. 22% of people said he did not have a point. And 74% of you guys said he had a lot of points, and it added up to no points. And that's kind of where I was at with it.
Me too.
He just was throwing shit up against a wall. We had episode Israeli Tortoise with JL Covan, whose album we did help get to number one on iTunes.
Yes, sir. Thank you, everybody.
Yeah. No comments. I can't say I'm shocked. Okay.
That's what we do.
The poll was, did Mark Lamont Hill have a point about voting green, basically. 8% of y'all say, yeah, he did have a point. And 92% of you say, no, he did not have a point. Tanya G says, in an academic sense, his position is fine, but in actual practice, it's really irresponsible. It's the same argument a lot of Bernie people made when they said they wouldn't support Hillary. They seem to think if they help Trump win it, it will be so bad, people will rise up and start a revolution. The level of privilege he has to think this makes me angry. If this happens, the people with the least amount of resources will have to deal with the fallout of this social experiment. Also, revolutions aren't peaceful. They are bloody and dangerous and don't work out great for most people. We had the Revolutionary War and it worked great for rich white men. So when I heard him say it I just thought, fuck you, fuck you, fuck you. After Bush was elected both times, I thought, how bad can he be? And he decided to show us. Trump has even less credibility than Bush did, so I don't want to see the kind of crap he'll pull.
Right.
Yeah, I do feel like the people that are floating this idea, whether they want to admit it or not, they do have some level of privilege.
Yes, they're not going to be affected by it. No matter what they say, they're not going to be affected by the fallout.
Right. You've decided that whatever is bad for you is fine,
right? And you can deal, quote unquote, deal with the fallout. Like, yeah, it's gonna affect me, but not that much. But what about the people? It's gonna literally change their lives, make them homeless. They're gonna be without. They're not gonna have. You're gonna have millions of people across the country all of a sudden be affected tremendously. Like, you're not going to be quote unquote at that level, but you're to the point where you go, okay, I might be a little uncomfortable, they might change a few laws around me, but you're not going to lose your home. Overall, your income ain't going to dip. Overall, right, you're going to be just fine. So yes, you're at a point of privilege if you can truly say that and just be like, it doesn't really matter. Because technically you're saying
even if you think it will affect you, and you're like, but I'm willing to sacrifice it for the other people. It's still privilege. It's right, still privilege.
Because you have something that you can sacrifice.
Yeah, it's still privilege, man. I know that they don't like, I've heard, this is why I'm kind of over talking about what the fuck people are going to do with their one individual vote. Mm-hmm. None of it's interesting, and nobody wants to hear the truth about their vote. Everybody wants to like talk around the truth of their vote. And it's like, you're not that fucking interesting. You know what I mean? Like, you haven't presented some fucking new idea that no one's ever thought of.
Right.
Yes, ultimately, you have to pick between one of these two people that will probably, in all probability, be president. Like, there's 0% chance it won't be one of these two without something happening to one of them. So that's where we're at. Pragmatically, that's how I'm at. The ideas and philosophy around what you want to do with your vote, hey, man, good for you. You know what I mean? End of the day, I'm willing to entertain whatever the fuck you say, but I'm not actually fascinated by it. And I think in a lot of these cases, what happens is that people are fascinated by it. I'm not one of those people. You know what I mean? Like, when I brought up Mark Lamont Hill on the show, I still was kind of like, well, everyone's talking about it, so I'll bring it up. But I don't want to interview Mark Lamont Hill about this. I don't want to give him more attention because of it. It's not that fascinating. You don't like Hillary Clinton enough that you would be like, fuck America. Only thing I'll accept is a perfect leftist candidate that has, you know, that I like. And that's fine. That's your prerogative.
Yes, it is.
Nigga, you have one vote. It ain't happening. So I'm not worried about it. You know, in the history of America, that has never, ever happened, and it won't happen. It doesn't matter what theory you come up with. It doesn't matter. Like, unless you, like, yeah, it's just not going to happen. So there's no perfect candidate. And what my ultimate belief, and one of the reasons I don't want to engage in a lot of these debates, my ultimate belief, and I don't expect people to admit it, is that it's a lot of misogyny, and some of them aren't even aware of it. Men, women, everybody. They aren't even aware of it. It's just, it is what it is. If you are woke enough to see that a lot of the shit the President Obama dealt with and Michelle Obama deals with is racism and misogyny and shit like that, if you can see it for them, don't act like this country's different for her, because it ain't. You know what I mean? The level of perfection that we would require from a woman candidate is completely uncharted. You know, the fact that people run around calling her a liar as if the other alternatives are a whole bunch of truth tellers is fucking ridiculous.
Come on, dog.
It's ridiculous. Like, that's why I said I'm kind of off of the idea of, like, I'm not really into people that simply can point out there's a problem with something. Because I know there's a problem with something. Because I'm smart and I've been alive this long. Like, everything has a problem. There's a problem with me, there's a problem with you, there's a problem with this podcast, there's a problem with politics, there's a problem with every politician. It like, you're never going to present a perfect anything, so just being able to point it out to me is like, that's like me giving you credit for you going, hey, the sun's out. Yeah, no shit. You know what I mean? But do I carry an umbrella or not? Like, that's the question I have for you. What are we doing? Are we staying inside? Do we turn on the AC? These are the questions that come from you pointing out this simple truth that the sun's out. What's the temperature? You know, there's more to it than simply pointing this out. So, I think a lot of people get off on the pointing out shit and then they stop the train right there and they go, this is my stop, on to the next problem. And it's like, you didn't solve shit. So yeah, I mean, you know, ultimately, Hillary has issues, Bernie has issues, Trump has issues, all these people have issues. If your whole thing is, I don't see the difference between any of them, cool, that just really means you have a level of privilege that you don't give a fuck. That's all.
Right.
And you don't want nobody to bring it up. You don't want anybody to say it because it's the truth and it makes you look like a bad person, but it's the truth. You don't want to hear the truth. We're talking about honesty, right? Let's talk about honesty. You don't want to vote for somebody you just don't like. Cause even if you were going to vote for Bernie, she holds 93% of the principles that he had. So you just don't like her. That's cool. He voted for the same fucking crime bill that she said super predators about. So you just don't like her. I don't have time to wade through all this fucking bullshit to get to the actual truth that you're in denial of. It's not worth discussing. It's too much. I had enough of this shit with the Bernie people. I saw through that bullshit. I see through this bullshit. If you black and you not voting for Hillary, cool. I don't actually give a fuck why. You know what I mean? You don't have to tell me or explain shit to me. And the people that feel so fascinated by this, I don't know why, because we've never had a uniformity of opinion, period. And I still expect her to get 90-something percent of the black vote. Because it ain't that many dummies who are actually going to be like, I'll just risk a Trump presidency. It's not that many people. So this small number of people shouldn't get all the fucking attention. Like, cool, go vote for Jill Stein. She's not perfect either. You know, that's all. So anyway, good luck, everybody. So what was the poll for this one? Oh, wait, that was the poll, right? And then I read the comment, right? Yeah, mm-hmm. Cool. All right, so episode 1259, the Waparito. We had our girl Nick Ju on. Now this got 4 comments, so I feel like y'all listened to JL and said shook y'all head and moved on.
Bought the album and moved on.
And you know what, that's fair. That's very fair. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That man makes me laugh so much, man, but he is not a good person. He's not, man. He's just not, man. He my friend, but when I talk to him, I always end up being like, man, you really ain't shit. Lil Mo 0219 says, them Apple jokes though. Karen went in about Apple and the discipline that she would get for white people babies. Amani says, Rod, no need to slander us New York heads. Oh my God, New Yorkers. Y'all so sensitive. Why y'all so sensitive? Y'all make it easy. I didn't even really say nothing. I really kept it light. But y'all so sensitive, man. Look, flex y'all's. Y'all gotta own that.
That's your people.
That's y'all people. That's your man's. Okay? That's your man's and them. Do not try to, cause when some corny shit happened down here, right, we gotta own it. Okay? We own Lil Jon and them. We own Crunk.
We own Master P.
We own Master P. That's us. You know?
All us.
Don't be trying to be like, nah, see, we don't really fuck with him. Nope. We don't really fuck with Petey Pablo in North Carolina. But I know y'all niggas be joking, taking y'all shirts off and waiting like, oh, these niggas in North Carolina.
Them niggas down south.
Right. Y'all gonna take this. Anyway, he says, we don't even fuck with Flex like that. He was always a joke to me, even back in the 90s. Yeah, to you. But he was on the number one radio station for hip hop during all that time too. Right? He a joke though.
Somebody's listening.
Y'all writing him checks? He's still on the air, but he a joke though, right? Come on now. Come on, buddy.
He coined it to you, but somebody was listening, baby.
He put out some albums and had the number one hip hop artist on them. Come on, man. Why we gotta revise the history, man? Just take the L, New York. Be clear. Take the L, New York.
Them bombs. How old is that man? In his 50s?
He too old to be acting like that. That's all I know. He too old for this shit. Oh my God. Oh, that's right. Nick Jew's not here now. I could probably play some of this audio. Oh my God.
Oh, that's right. Cause she couldn't hear it. That's right.
Oh my God. It was so ridiculous, man. It's like you.
Yeah, we got to work on that
I
today.
I cannot believe that this is a real thing that people let happen. Let me see if I can find it. Yeah, here it is. He responds to Drake and tells stories. I think this is the link I had. It's on YouTube. But yeah, this y'all, man. Stop trying to lie like it's not.
Funk Master Flex Nut. Funk Master Flex Nut. Funk Master Flex Nut.
Since last year. I gotta bring the air right, man. I need something I can speak my mind on, man. These niggas think I'm playing with them this year.
Yes.
That's such a classic hip hop New York beat that they put behind them. It's like every beef gotta be to that beat.
Hope I got the festivities right. I don't even know if that's the right word. But when did this happen? Was it Thursday night? So I think New York City, because I want to get everything right. I think Complex had first reported that Drake had said F597, but that's wrong. Yeah, that was not what was said. So then when the audio came out, I think it's that he says F597 is lying. And I said, I'll do your show when you, or was it if or when you fire? I want to know that right. You have it? Oh, man.
They tell it lies on Hot 97. That's how it goes. I told them fire Funk Flex and then I'll come and do your show.
Okay.
Plus me and Kanye, we just left out the studio. My first night in the garden, I'm feeling like D-Roll.
Okay, so now I understand. So,
how old is Flex to be arguing with this nigga? He gotta be about 40 something, 50 something, right?
Go check.
He got, come on, Flex.
So he said when you fire, not if, but when. Okay.
This got over 400,000 views, man. You cannot pretend like this nigga not popular, man.
He's 48.
Oh, God.
Yeah, I know he's close to 50.
I want to touch on this a little bit. So I noted him and Ebro had a lax, joking conversation about maybe the Joe Budden situation and about if Eminem was to step into it. But Drake is saying he didn't say that, just like he didn't say the stuff with that magazine about Hove, right? I just want to make sure that that's what happened. All right. Now, in his being terrified of possibly Eminem taking him serious and firing on him, I don't know if that panicked him. But let me tell you something, New York. He not only told Ebro that if you fire Funk Flex or when you fire Funk Flex, he also said that to T.T. Torres. He said that to a few people at the station. And I want to clarify something. People think he's talking about radio show. He's talking about concerts.
Nobody cares about all this. This is a level of detail that, but yeah, this New York right here, man.
I'm still in it. Moving right along. Wait a minute.
Oh!
Okay.
Told you had that new sound effect.
It made me laugh every time I heard it.
Come on, man. Even like, join us in clowning him then. Don't write in and be like, listen, that's not really representative of New York. Just y'all, it is representative of New York. Even if y'all clown him, y'all be like, we clown him too. Let us clown too.
Cause we clown this shit. This hilarious down here.
He said, but he was always a joke to me even back in the '90s, but you had to put up with him before we had internet radio. Now he's just a relic of a different age, getting by on his connections because he used to be a gatekeeper and he's salty this generation doesn't need him anymore.
Yeah, I agree with you on that one, baby.
For sure. So good to hear Nick Jew back on the show. She's the best. Saved this app and that tea just to get me through the day. And Karen is killing me with those apple puns. If white people news is just her cracking herself up, roasting that poor baby every week, I pay. I pay extra on my premium subscription just for that. Max says, I tried a Whopperito today. Not terrible, not great. Would be a good meh meal for your mayor the vote day. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they should add some sriracha to it and jalapeno cheese. Mm-hmm. See, this is why I need to be working for them. Max says, the next day y'all go on a rant about the hotel. The next time y'all go on a rant about the hoteps, y'all need a lot of those flex bombs and ooh. Oh man, how is that not funny to everybody? Oh, Flex got him a new sound. He was, yes, boy. He was,
I'm here for it.
He was so happy to drop that. Ooh. Let's see if I can play that again.
I don't know if you noticed, but everything is built on top five. And that's being in the top five. I should know because I'm in the top five. So I know what the top five feels like. And I'm still in it. Moving right along. Wait a minute.
Oh! You had him press the button, dog. He said, let me hit this. Let me hit that button.
Ooh! Ooh, boy. Oh.
He was like, y'all gonna hear this.
Come on, man. That's funny.
That's hilarious.
That's funny, man. You can't be acting like.
It's funny, dog. It's not come funny. On.
Come on, dog.
Come on. You got, come on, dog. You laughing. You listening to your headphones laughing. It's funny.
Ooh.
It's funny. You can laugh with us. Come on, dog. Laugh with us.
Come on. Oh, shit. Oh, man.
Ooh. Oh, that's just the best. I wonder who anything else that went with that, but that's all he caught.
That was the only one. I listened to the whole thing and he was so excited about his his new he was so excited about his new sound effect.
Yes, he was.
Like that was yes, all he had. He was like, mm-hmm. Ooh.
Oh yeah.
So yeah,
y'all better be careful, guys. Whoever your sexual partner is, they hit that sound, you better look around for Funk Master Flex around the corner somewhere.
I just don't appreciate all these New York dudes writing into the show trying to deflect. You know, I feel like they dissing us, and I gotta, yeah, you don't have to talk about this. Yeah, Imani was writing in. And he was talking a whole lot of shit in his response. And another dude hit me up on, hold on, let me make sure, Twitter. You want to get my details right, North Carolina. He hit me up on Twitter. And he was letting me know that he had a problem with some of the things we say at the Black Guy Hotel.
Oh, my God, this beautiful?
Mm-hmm, that's right. Let's be clear. I don't appreciate it. So don't write up here no more. Trying to diss us, okay? Because Imani, I know that you do not pay all your bills.
Oh my God, is this beautiful?
Oh, what the hell is happening? You making shit up.
That's right. I know you're behind on your student loans.
Oh Lord.
I'm telling North Carolina.
Oh my God, is this beautiful?
Now everybody knows. Okay? All right, let me stop. I have other things to do today.
And this is why I'll be a terrible co-host, because I'll be like, that shit ain't right. I'm sorry, I'm supposed to agree, my bad.
Right, he dissed us.
Like all good women, my bad.
He dissed us by disagreeing, and we had to go at him, Karen. That's the New York rules. I was speaking in his language. Mac also said.
Thank you, sweet. Thank you for writing in.
Yeah, oh yeah, he said, and in fact, you ought to drop those bombs when Karen's talking about fellas not standing up for his sisters. Yep. I will drop the bombs. Well, we don't have bomb sound effects, so we just had to go with this.
Oh my God, is this beautiful?
I love that sound effect too.
And the poll was, would you try a Whopperito? And 70% of y'all said no. And 30% of y'all like me. Yeah, I'll try it. Try anything once. and the last episode was Akineli for mayor. episode 1260. We discussed a whole bunch of stuff, including Akinelli running for the mayor of Miami because he, they were being pretty racist against him, it sounds like. We had a couple comments. A girl, Think Pretty Smart, says, that kid is annoying. Oh yeah, that's right. This is the controversial episode. So we had that nerdy kid that got picked on for having some felas.
Yeah.
And then he went in the car and made a Facebook video that went viral. And I think he even got invited to a fila and to sit in on that meeting and everything. So good for him.
Got some shoes out the deal.
Yeah. But just make sure that, you know, when you get back to the park, you let them niggas know you went to that meeting. Okay. Let them know that, you know, you got to show them like, oh yeah, these old things. Anyway. That kid is annoying. Yes, Miss Smart. He should be playing and learning survival skills. He need to be toughened up. He looked thin. They are.
Oh, look, he looked thin.
They are probably trying already running him for his lunch money.
Probably is, sweetie. You right.
Oh no. Oh. Whew. He needs to listen quietly to some adults gossip, like Rod said. Take that information and crush his classmates. If he doesn't get some backbone 20 years from now, he will be copping pleas for cops and blaming blacks for getting killed because of what they are wearing. Of course the cop killed him or her. She, he had too many, had on fancy shoes. He wouldn't be able to afford that stuff.
Ah!
So I know he was doing something illegal. Nice things on a black body equals calls for execution.
Oh.
And then she responded to her own comment and said one more thing. This is serious. Black race and suicide have been creeping up since the late 90s at least. I did graduate research on this and was stunned. In digging deeper by age and gender, much of the young black suicides were kids, young people who were quote-unquote assimilating. These are kids slash youth who 50 years earlier weren't exposed to suicide as a real option. Further, we started to be less connected to our communities. Even now, we still treat suicide like isolated incidents when in actuality it happens a lot if we start considering unsuccessful attempts. I haven't looked at the research and numbers in years, but I suspect the influx of prescription drugs has had a negative genetic impact on eggs slash sperm, which we see in brain functioning in kids, specifically causing an imbalance on the levels of the neurotransmitters dopamine, norepinephrine, I don't know if I pronounced that one right, and serotonin, which some believe are connected to depression. Yeah, you never know, man. And especially when you're talking about assimilating, like, because that's a class thing, so then it becomes different options for people and
options that we never had before. Because like she says, time went on, went from separate but equal to integrated but still separate but equal. But now all of a sudden we have access to, like she said, prescription drugs. We have access to other options that otherwise we would have never even thought about.
Yeah, you know what's funny too, though, is like also you're still subjected to that racism there. You may not feel like you can reach out to people. You may feel isolated. There's a lot of reasons. There's a lot of stuff. And like I said, a lot of people are now through social media where you can also group up and see like-minded people. You're also able to see your oppressors and they're able to find you and they're able to pass that shit on. Like specifically reaching out to you, you know, it's like anytime you talk about Black Lives Matter, someone has to. There are people that just troll Twitter all day, waiting for someone to say it, so they can be like, "Nope, let me tell you why this one is different." Prof Corey says, "The discussion about race and suicide going up for kids of color was powerful. You touched on plenty, so I won't try to add, but I wanted to share this piece on lynching photos, police brutality videos, and self-care. Our community have always created resources for coping. It doesn't take the place of culturally competent counselors, but folks of color are being protective." And this is Vox article, "What I Learned About Police Brutality Videos from Studying Images of Lynching." It's a little bit long. Let me see how long this is. I might not be able to read all of it, but I definitely won't be able to read all of it for this, but I'll get to it later though. I'm gonna save it and make sure I get to it. So I appreciate you for putting that in, saving this right now. All right, but I think we are seeing a lot more of this, and it has to be affecting us on some level. And I think also one of the ways we protect ourselves is with this humor. Like, Black people are funny. Our gallows humor is so fucking good.
Yeah,
it's why I love our people. It's why I love what we do. It's why people can call a show like this, which I wouldn't myself call it a safe space or anything like that, but it's why people do call it that, because they share that same kind of dark humor of our oppression is so fucked up, and our history is so fucked up, and the things that we've had to do to survive are so fucked up. But in the same time, our love for each other and our like perseverance is magnificent. Like, and part of that for me, it's not every black person, not every black person the same, but part of that for me has been the survival instinct of laughing, honestly.
Yeah, you better.
Like, sometimes, like, I don't know, I can't say it happens to everybody, but sometimes I read an article and it's so fucked up, I don't actively think this, but I start laughing before I even realize it. I'm just like, I laugh is my first response, because
so fucking ridiculous.
The ridiculousness of the mentality of people who are oppressive and the ridiculousness of life is sometimes I can only laugh, you know. And I don't know if it's just to be like, oh, I'm laughing so I won't cry, or I'm laughing so I'm just laughing because it's so ridiculous. You have to see the humor in it, or what's the point? You know what I mean?
Come on.
Like, I have to laugh because I just don't know how else. How am I supposed to treat, even when something is deadly, dangerously serious, sometimes I laugh because I'm like, how am I supposed to treat this world? This silly, silly world. This world is ridiculous. Hating people for the color of their skin, or where they were born, or what religion they are, like, it's so silly. It's just, you know what I mean? And we're all gonna, like, this thing's gonna spin around. We're gonna die. We're not gonna be here one day.
Right.
Most of us aren't gonna leave a legacy behind. Most of us are not gonna change this world in any significant way. Oop. And we'll just have to keep hoping that the generations pass, like, get a little better, a little better, a little better. But something in humanity is fucked up and flawed, and it's always gonna be some people paying the price for that. And, like I said, I have to laugh, because it's just, if not, then this would be a joyless experience. I don't know how people that don't have a sense of humor or have that broken in them, I can't really relate to them, because I don't have that in me. And they probably can't relate to me either, and they probably think, like, I'm a dick, or I'm a bad person, or they think everything I laugh at, I co-sign, which is, to me, a ridiculous thing to think. Right. But that's because my mentality is so different than theirs. Like, I'll laugh at something I disagree with all the time. Like, I'll just be like, that's funny, and I also would, but I don't believe it. You know what I mean? And there's plenty of people that are funny, but they are getting by on saying a bunch of shit that everyone agrees with, so it's not actually that funny. Mm-mm. So it's, you know, it's like that catch 22. You want to find that sweet spot where you're being true to yourself, but you're also being entertaining, and I think that matters a lot for me. All right, the poll was, should that kid with the Fila shoes learn to make jokes back to those kids? Now, Karen was on the no, he's got it all figured out part. I was on the yes, you got to say something part. Who do you think won, Karen?
You did.
That's damn right I won, because I was right. 81% of y'all agree with Rod, me, the right one. You gotta say something, man. Okay, I didn't say get a gun, punch a kid, get in a fight. I just said, look, they roasting, you gotta come up with something to say back. Okay, that's it. Okay, they'll respect you afterwards. Then you'll be one of the crew. I worry about little dudes like that, because I feel like
it needs to be a balance. And I do agree with you with that. That has to be a balance.
Yeah, well, I didn't say you need to start wearing Nikes or nothing. You just gotta say something back. Don't be in the car talking to your parents about that shit. Running to the car. I bet he ran to the car with his aunts to his side, like Friday and shit. He gonna cry in the car. But yeah, I mean, it's nothing wrong with, I love that he had that kind of relationship with his family and parents, that he could say that shit.
Right.
But at the same time, I mean, and I love that he was, and I don't mean this pejoratively, but I love how articulate, well-spoken, and smart he was, and like how he was doing this with his head. He was like, it's what's up here. And that's all cute. That's all good. Hey, man, you got to go outside with your cousins, and y'all got to play the dozens. It's cool. Right. It's just part of the initiation of being a black person, man. It's at least in your environment. Some other places, that shit may never come up with certain people. But where you from, they roast kids at the park, at the court. Okay? It is what it is. You can either stop going to the court and be a fucking the weirdo who stopped playing basketball, or you can go down there, have some fun, and make a couple jokes back, and don't let them get to you, man. That's all. Because they ain't about to listen to that whole 10-minute spiel about the power of your mind. I know that for a fact.
No, not kids, though.
Yeah, they ain't about to listen. You guys worried about my felines, but you need to understand all these shoes are made in countries where they have oppression. And where's everybody going? What about the power of my mind?
They're gonna walk away from you.
You think about the power of come on, y'all, pass me the ball, please. Like, you just say some jokes back, man. It's cool. Anyway, and for the record, I never advocated a fight or something like that. Although I will talk about your mama if you. Amani said, man, that kid better learn to snap back. My eyes glazed over anytime someone mentions education over Jordan. Yeah, that's true too. But kids will roast anybody about anything. Doesn't matter how much you have your stuff together. Logic ain't gonna stop it. Only making them laugh. That kid needs parents that will teach him the real life lessons. He has a link to something. Oh, and someone linked me on Twitter to a video where they were teaching the kid to do the dozens. And that video, that's what I'm talking about. You know, and because it was like, I'm gonna say he's fat.
Learn skill.
Yeah, I'm gonna say he fat like Mark Henry. It was like, no, don't say that. Oh yeah, here it is, this video. Okay, he linked me to it. Here, this is like, this video I fully support. Like, there's nothing wrong with this right here. Let me put it in the chat so you guys can see it. First day of school, teaching my boy how to roast. This is from What's Up, Wazam Super on Twitter. And apparently it's having some time. It's taking some time though.
Oh boy, let me get you. Boy, you look so ugly. You look fatter than Mark Henry.
Who's Mark Henry? He's a wrestler. No, you gotta say. You could say that, but you gotta say, boy, you built like Mark Henry.
Wait, you do like Mark Henry?
No, built.
Boy, you built like Mark Henry.
Yeah, and I see that's funny. It looked like.
Boy, let me get you. Boy, you built like Mark Henry.
Yeah, that's funny. You really gotta utilize the stuff around you. Like, let's say, like, you in a cafeteria, right? You gotta be like, boy, you don't get your milk carton head. You know?
Boy, you don't get your milk carton head.
Yeah, like, you gotta, like, look at the stuff around you and use that.
Oh boy, you better get your broccoli looking in.
Yeah.
But that's boy, only you better get your bread looking in.
Yeah.
Boy, you don't get your stop sign in.
Yeah.
Beautiful. That's all I'm talking about, y'all. You know, you can keep all that inspirational stuff inside, man. Like, it's a time and place for that too. But
it is.
That
was cute.
That's beautiful, man. That's beautiful. We had one voicemail. Let me play that.
Yo, what up, niggas? This is Leonard. Just calling in. You know what I'm saying? First of all, I say what's up. What's up to everybody? Black Alexis Nation, all mine. You know what I mean? But yo, this call is for, it's a response to, the clip that they played on Wednesday's show of the little young boy who got picked on by the sneakers. And, you know, Rod's whole thing about, yo, you gotta clap back. I totally agree with that, my nigga. You know what I mean? Like, that is definitely something that I learned when I was growing up back in the day in Hartford, Connecticut. You know what I'm saying? Like, we definitely had to learn that steel really does sharpen steel. You know what I'm saying? So anytime cats had jokes, you had to say something back. And it's not even anything about being, you know, a thug or a gangster or trying to fight people and all that kind of stuff. And it's not no, like, hyper-masculine type of thing of trying to win a pissing contest with people. But what it really boiled down to at that time, you know, when we were coming up, you know, back in the 80s and everything, and even for these kids today, is that you have to learn to respect people. You know what I'm saying? You have to learn to give people respect, at least some basic level of respect, and you also need to learn how to command that as well. And this young guy was getting disrespected. And, you know, it might have been in the form of jokes or whatever, but that type of thing can snowball as you grow up. You know what I'm saying? Especially if you keep that shit bottled in and never really find constructive ways to get it out. So if it is even in the joke, in sense where they really don't mean any harm, you can still say something back. But if niggas are really actually trying to press up on you and make it a little bit more, you got to learn how to defend yourself. So I definitely agree with what Ryan said about, you know, learning how to say something back. If they talk about your shoes, all right, nigga, my shoes look crazy or whatever like that, but let's talk about your tight-ass shirt. Fuck mm-hmm. out of here. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like, you got to learn how to say things back to let cats know that you are not the one to just get picked on and that there won't be any sort of consequence for it. Again, it's not about, you know, trying to be tough and you know, I'm going to fight you and all that kind of thing. But like Rod said on the show, if nothing else, at least they know if you come at LB, if you come at Rod, if you come at whoever with the jokes, you're going to get some jokes back. And we can all be some joking motherfuckers out here if that's what needs to happen. But you're not going to come in my face and say something crazy and just think that that's going to be able to fly, you know, unanswered or whatever. Because as we know, if you allow that type of thing to continue throughout life, then it becomes more and more of an issue. You know what I'm saying? It might be jokes one day, but then, you know, another day it could be somebody coming up to you, stepping in and putting their hands on you. You know what I'm saying? So you got to kind of learn how to prevent those type of things from happening. I think I'm getting close to my 3 minutes, so I'm going to go ahead and cut it off there. But I just want to say, you know what I'm saying, I definitely agree with you. That was something that I had to learn, you know, as I was coming up. And hopefully this young brother will learn that as well and find constructive ways to deal when, you know, with people when they come at him sideways or whatever. And hopefully he doesn't come to violence and things like that. But we don't want him to become one of these cats who has held all this stuff in, you know, for years and years and years, and then it explodes in some type of violent way, you know, in the future or whatever. So that's it, man. All right, man, I'll holler at y'all. Peace.
Peace. And yeah, I agree with every word of that. I know we're coming up on the break here, and I'm gonna try to get off a few emails real quick. Mm-hmm. Love the show. Mitch wrote this. Hey Rod and Karen, I don't know if I read this last week or not. I'm long overdue for sending a fan mail, but here it is. My name is Mitchell, aka at that underscore Mitch on Instagram and Twitter. I've been listening to the show for about a year now, and it's the best decision I've made ever. I would like to thank you for the laughs and the safe space that you created for your fans. By the time you read this, I'll be in San Antonio for Air Force basic training for 7.5 weeks. That's a long time to go without Karen's awesome laugh and my favorite line, what's going on here?
You be safe, baby.
And Rod's occasional, make daddy a sandwich. That's going to be tough. Again, thanks for this show. It got me through while working with crazy people and while I was unemployed and back working with crazy people. Much love, Mitchell. Thanks, Mitch.
Thank you.
Let's see. Oh, Madalena writes in, weird sexism in 1258.
Oh, shit.
I think we know where that weird sexism came from. That would also be the episode JL Covan was on. Hey, Rod and Karen, love the show. Just want to give you both a shout out for being so great in the way you speak and manage your podcast. JL's commentary about gymnasts and slut shaming and women being victims and whatever else, 1258 was upsetting, and it just made me appreciate y'all more. But like, yo, I'm still listening to this episode. This is a second email. And I get that he's a comedian, but damn.
We told you JL ain't shit.
He really is the worst, man. I haven't heard the word slut this much since the last time I was in the frat house. Hey, man, I don't know. Something's really wrong with that guy, man. I just got a weakness for JL, man. It's like, he's like my Patrice O'Neal. You know how everybody loves Patrice O'Neal, but when you go back and listen to him, you'd be like, he's a lot of
problematic shit. Ooh, just sticking black women on folks. Mm.
Like, it's probably for the best. I'm not going to say it.
We don't need the letters. He always talking about me. Mm-mm. Like, I'm the loose cannon. Shout out to Quita. Oh. I'm not the loose cannon this time. I'm being reasonable. Don't say it.
I'm not going to say it. I'm just going to make the feedback part two. And roll to the next section. Hold on a second, guys. I'm going to just do this real quick. It's only take a second to get everybody back on screen.
Oh my God, this beautiful.
calling everybody back, and I'm about to go live. And just add yourself back to the screen. Let me see how I add Karen.
There you go. A lot of Mac can come over.
It will?
Yeah, they will, but I won't.
Yeah, I just invited you on screen.
Yeah.
All right. So back to the emails. Jennifer writes in, white people news. Hi Rod and Karen, this new white people news segment is hilarious. The music you select for the quote unquote news, and of course most of all the commentary from you two. As one of your pasty crew, I feel like a tiny out of body experience to hear this from a non-white lens. I laugh and sigh and laugh and sigh. Also happy to hear you're enjoying your new home. As much as I hate moving, I totally agree. It's awesome to purge and emerge less clutter and update decor. That's the fun part. Mm-hmm. It is, man. Definitely the most adult shit I've ever done.
Yeah, I mean, y'all, we are really like real adults. Like, I don't know how to explain this, but like, we're being responsible with a lot of shit that I didn't care about before. Like, I'm actually trying to keep it clean. Like, before I was like, you know what? Fuck it.
I just think one of the things I like about, you know, the new space is having more space, and then, you know, getting to redesign things to personalize a little bit more. You know, some of the decorations, all the stuff we're doing in this room.
I'm having fun with the redesign.
Some of the other rooms, and, you know, we like went to Marshall's just for like house shit the other day. Like, it's been pretty cool, man. I still got some more stuff I want to do to this room, and I got to figure out some kind of way to set up Karen's camera so y'all can actually see these decorations, because that was the point of getting them.
Do I need to swap with Justin? Because my aim is at the door.
Yeah, I don't know. You probably have to move that laptop or the way you sit or something so people can kind of see some of the decor. But, okay. You know, but yeah, I like it. And I like personalizing it and starting over and stuff. You know, we got that other place like 6 years ago, and it was a totally different circumstance. I mean, this podcast is 6 years old. So, you know, or actually, what, we got that other place like about four or five years ago. But the point being, we were still in the middle of so many other things. Mm-hmm. Thanks for all your hard work you put in to produce excellent shows day in and day out. I love you guys. And if your show ever stopped, it will leave a huge hole in my life. Aww. Best, Jennifer. Well, we're going to do our best to make sure it doesn't stop. Fuck yeah. This is by John. I pronounced it right because that's what the joke would be. John says, Dear Rod and Karen, not sure if you want to read this on airs and maybe boring to much of the audience. Up to you, obviously. I'm reading it, ain't I? Just wanted to say that I'm so glad you guys discovered the joy of Vietnamese food. I tried to go the authentic Vietnamese way, but I gotta like meet some Vietnamese people now, because, you know,
yeah, they're authentic, like you said.
The place I went that was so authentic, they wouldn't serve me. It was like, boy, I couldn't tell if it was just racism or they just knew better. You know what I mean?
They was like, you ain't gonna like this.
Yeah, they like, look, you gonna order the wrong thing. So yeah, I gotta hook up with Mark or my Vietnamese friend and be like, hey man, come translate for me and let's handle this business.
Right, and translate the menu.
Mm-hmm. Well, he says, it's been an obsession of mine for the past year since we won a trip to Vietnam and went over there in February. Just wanted to share some goodness with you. The next time you decide to hit up your local place, some things you might want to try. One, pho is pronounced pho, or even more accurately, fur, F-U-H-R. Damn, that's like the sixth different... Anyway,
everybody has a different way of pronouncing it. Yeah,
I highly recommend the brisket. The beef broth is usually much more tasty than the chicken, and the brisket is sliced super thin and brought out raw. Then the broth is poured over it and usually cooks it right in front of you. Believe it or not, pho is actually a breakfast food over there, though here in the U.S. is usually a lunch or dinner thing.
Two. When they put eggs and stuff in it. Oh, well, sorry. That's ignorant Americanized. I'm sorry. Because he said breakfast food. Mm-mm-mm. I bet that shit probably the blazing with some eggs.
Karen gonna be up in there talking about,
oh my god, this beautiful.
Yeah, it's gonna get us kicked out. My bad.
Mm-mm-mm. It's some breakfast food.
They gonna be like, eggs.
You know how you sound right now? And when you got the eggs, what's the eggs? The eggs are the power that That's how you sound right now.
Mm-hmm. I'm like, can y'all put some yams in this?
Number two, bun. There's a bunch of dishes that are essentially charred meat, usually pork, chicken, or beef, with some kind of lemongrass, soy, ginger, garlic, etc. marinate. Served over vermicelli and cucumbers, sprouts, garden herbs, and garnished with cilantro, peanuts, and pickled carrots. Bun dishes are great because you get totally full, but the meal somehow still feels very light. It's great for hot, humid weather. Banh mi. I've had some of these. One of the greatest sandwiches ever invented. Yeah, I've had a couple of those. CO has them. Banh mi, B-A-N-H-M-I.
Okay.
Barbecue pork on a French baguette with paid cucumbers, pickled carrots, daikons, cilantro, jalapenos, and spicy sauce, a mixture of hoisin and sriracha.
Oh, yeah. Those are delicious.
Yeah, we've had those before.
The first time we had it was that CQ. Oh, those are good.
Yeah. I think it's CO. It's CQ?
I don't know. I think it's CO.
Okay. Four, Bon Zio, a savory Japanese crepe filled with shrimp or pork, green onions, and other spices. Haven't had that. Mm-mm. Usually pile some lettuce on them and dip it in fish sauce. Delicious. Mm. Number five, Cafe Su Da, Vietnamese iced coffee. If you like coffee, this stuff is the best. It's usually very strong, but use a sweetened condensed milk to sweeten it up and serve it on ice. Such a great drink for a hot summer day, but be warned, these things are potent, so you will be awake for a while after drinking one. I can't do that, Dan. Just a little bit of caffeine keep me up. If you want more of a buzz, gin and tonics are the big drink in Vietnam, and they go nicely with the food, especially when it's hot. One more thing. When eating pho, it's actually customary, at least over in Vietnam, to slurp your broth and noodles loudly. It's how you show the cook that you appreciate the meal. It also allows you to cool the broth noodles just enough so you don't burn the heck out of your mouth. There are several more dishes as well, but they are more or less the staples. Enjoy, John.
Well, I do that regardless, so.
Right.
They ain't had no problem hearing me slurp up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's not really. Yeah, I actually took a picture of Karen slurping the noodles like Naruto.
I loved.
And she had a Naruto shirt on. So it was like a complete, inception moment.
And the noodles the noodles are really light. I actually had my second bowl last night at this, is it a Thai place?
Mm-hmm.
We went to a Thai place last night and I looked and seen that they had it on the menu.
Mm-hmm.
And I ordered, shrimp and instead of them putting some of the ingredients on the side, they had them all in the bowl. And the dude, he bought out like the chili pepper and the spicy sauce and how you pronounce the hoisin sauce? How you pronounce that black dark sauce?
Hoisin.
And he put him down. And he was like, it was the last he put him down. He said, you put a little bit in there. It make it taste good. I was like, thank you, sir. And it was delicious.
Mm-hmm. Cam was in there getting her life, y'all.
Oh, my God. This beautiful.
Yeah, so I was slurping up. Because it was delicious and I was eating with chopstick noodles and everything. Honey, I had myself a good time. And I'll probably be more willing to branch off and try a different, because this place's pho tastes different than the other place.
Mm-hmm. All right. Also, we have one last one. Five-star show. Micah. I'm gonna say this whole name. Micah says, hey Rod, hey Karen. Every week I compose an email in my head. Finally decided to actually write in. I've been with you guys for about 10 months. You guys make the commute to and from work enjoyable. I'm also sure y'all have made me look insane from random bursts of laughter and talking back to the show. Your witty quips and thoughtful takes on current events is a breath of fresh air. The compassion you show for all marginalized people is contagious. I've learned so much from your show and the shows I found through you, Interracial John, Another Round, Whiskey, Wine, and Moonshine, to name a few. I love being part of the Black Autist community. Feels like family. Thank you both for all that you do. Side note, I gotta agree with the general consensus that Karen's "But I'm Dumb" at the end of Guess the Race theme song is missed. It's like a song without the melody resolved.
Oh,
hey man, she just be forgetting, man. What am I gonna say? You know what I mean? I ain't trying to get in no trouble.
It's not on purpose, I promise y'all.
Yeah, I ain't trying to get in no trouble. I just sit back and shut up.
Like a good man should. Make mama simp.
Mm-hmm.
That's crazy right there.
Craig, I looked this woman in the eye. I said, bitch.
That's how me and Justin talk.
When I'm not around. now.
Was she not around? We get to be like that.
I listen to Balls Deep at work going, what's happening?
Ooh. All right, guys. happy Left Handers Day, guys. Okay.
Woo-hoo.
It's Left Handers Day, officially August the 13th. Of course they would give us the 13th. Anyway, it's, officially, Left Handers Day, man, for all the people that, you know, cause people say, right, you're a heterosexual black man. Obviously, you know, you just have the one intersection of oppression, just racism and stuff. But what a lot of people don't know is I'm left-handed. And left-handed people, we experience oppression as well, you know, from the right man. And from a lot of you guys who are, a lot of you guys who are right, and you know, there's a lot of right supremacists among y'all.
Oh Lord.
there's been a lot of people that, you know, like an influx ever since I came out to the world as left-handed. I've received a lot of, right power, hatred, you know, a lot of anti-left sentiment, you know, it's everywhere. It's all in a dialogue, right? Oh, that went to the left. Oh, you're way out in left field. You know, like these things that we take for granted. When something's correct, what do we say? Right? You see what I'm saying? Oh, you're in your right mind. What does that mean? What's wrong with my left mind? What about the left side of the brain? Where all your creativity comes from? How about that? How about you show a little credit to the lefties out here? Okay. So what I want everybody to do, man, for the day, when you go up to somebody that's left-handed, man, you should give them left-hand dap today, okay? Just for one day. Let's just give each other some left-hand dap, all right? It's okay. You know, raise that black power fist with the left hand this week, all right? Let's show some solidarity out here for all the left-handed people out there. I appreciate y'all that support us because it's so many people. 90% of the world's population is right-handed. So, you know, it's so many people that don't care about us and our scissors and our special notebooks and the fact that we always get that ink and stuff on our hand when we write with a pen. They don't care about us, okay? Mm-mm. They don't care that we, you know, that the word sinister comes from being left-handed. You know, y'all really think we the devil. Y'all think something wrong with us. Y'all think me giving you dap with my left hand. Karen, this isn't about you, okay, and your right privilege right now. This is about me and my left hand experience. All right.
I'm sorry. I
didn't say all right people was bad.
My bad. I, you know, since I'm not of this oppressed group, I'm just gonna sit back and listen. Thank you.
But you know, y'all think our handshakes are disrespectful. Okay. You know, there's religions where you wipe your ass with our hand, you eat with the other one. I mean, come on. What's more disrespectful than that? It's sad, man. So I think, you know, people need to investigate their own privilege and look into the things that we experience. You know, a left-handed compliment means it's actually a backhanded compliment. Okay. But would you say that, left wing is, oh, you're a crazy leftist. You know, no, I'm just left-handed. I'm not with Mark Lamont Hill. Okay. I'm voting for Hillary, but y'all got me and him in the same category just cause I write with my left hand. Come on now. So yeah, I need y'all to understand that we can be great. Barack Obama's left-handed hero. Nobody talked about that, you know, helping to break the mold, you know, 5 of the last 7 presidents been left-handed. Now, we don't claim George Bush or Ronald Reagan, but Clinton and Clinton Obama, you know, they can come to the cookout, you know. Clinton, you know, you have to wait till everybody else gets a plate. But yeah, so make sure you guys, you know, hug a left-handed person today, man. We appreciate y'all. All right. We'll be back tomorrow. And this week coming up, we should definitely have Amber from Black Sexy Geeky and Mental.
Yay.
And Black Chick Watching. I'm only saying that because she came out of the having two podcast closet on her own show. And hopefully we can work it out, but we might have Jess Wood on this week too, so hopefully that works.
I miss her.
Yeah, we always get the schedule not fucked up when we work with her, but we're gonna try to get them both on this week, so we'll see you guys soon. So until then, I love you.
I love you too.
Mwah.